The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life. And this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him. But the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord. Just a reminder for tomorrow's Mass is a holy day of obligation on New Year's Day, the Solemnity of the Mother of God. And just mindful of the correction that we made over the weekend about the Masses. So Masses tomorrow are at 10 a.m., the first one, 10 a.m. English, 5 p.m. English, and 7 p.m. Spanish. So remember, there's no 8 a.m. Mass tomorrow. So as we're all now recovering from the Christmas season, our wallets are a little bit lighter. And one of the things we spend so much money upon, not only during this time of year, but I'll lay out some stats, some staggering stats. And I'll try to connect it towards the end here. How much do you think we spend on cosmetic surgery? Cosmetic surgery. So surgeries that we don't necessarily need medically. We spend $16 billion. How much do you think we spend on makeup, ladies? How much do you think we spend on makeup? $677 billion. I used to work at Target when I was in college, one of my part-time jobs, and I was talking to the head of security. And he says, "You know what the number one product that's stolen at this particular Target? Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it's commonplace all across all Targets across the world. It's precisely makeup. That's the number one stolen item. Why? Because it's expensive. You women know that. It's expensive. And they're tiny and they're small. And it easily slips in one's pocket accidentally, of course. Huh? So. Men, we're not that much different. You know how much we spend on hair loss products? Now, this is particularly sensitive to me, right? As a man whose hairline is receding. Hair loss, we spend about $2.2 billion. In a couple of years, that will increase to about $3.7 billion. Hair loss treatment. Hair loss restoration, meaning you get hair plants somehow. And people will travel all the way to Turkey. Turkey's the number one country, by the way, for us men to fly to get cheap hair loss restoration surgery. Currently, it is $6 billion. In a couple years, that will jump to $18 billion. And I share all of these stats because we're all like, oh, I know, we're all included in those numbers. But you think about it, what unites all of that? Is that I'm ashamed of my body somehow. You notice that theme. Again, this is all across the board. We all are inflicted with this. That there's something about my body that I don't like. And I cover it up with the makeup, with the surgery. Because I guarantee you, if there was a pill being sold that would restore my hairline, I'm going there after Mass. Because right? I'm ashamed of my receding hairline. Right? There's something about our bodies that we don't like. Where does that come from? We'll jump all the way back again. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. Remember again that pivotal line, that incident where God is moving through the garden is directly after the fall, and one of the results of original sin is shame. And it's a particular shame. Because when God asks Adam and Eve, why were you hiding? It's because he said, because we were naked. And so I hid myself. See, do you notice what Adam and Eve first said? That there was something about my naked body that I'm ashamed of, and I must hide. Don't look at me. Cover me up. Get surgery. Get a pill. Hide the shame. You see the perpetuation of Genesis chapter 3, verse 10 throughout our lives. Now here is the beauty, the saving beauty. God knows the human heart. There is nothing mysterious about us. We are the same. God is the architect of the human heart. And so what does he do? The Word becomes flesh. In this beautiful gospel today, God takes on our shame. You see, we're always trying to hide from God. Always hiding. We're always hiding behind the bush. This is why confession is so hard. We're always hiding. And the Father beckons us, comes to us. So much so that he will take on our deepest pain. The cross, my friends, is the ultimate answer. Because as we know, Jesus was naked upon there. Again, we just, in our art, we just cover him with a loincloth out of modesty. But our Lord was utterly naked there. In his most vulnerable moment, saying, Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, I know you're ashamed of your bodies, and it causes you tremendous pain. But even that, I will unite to me and love you still.